Welcome to The Milk Check, a podcast from TC Jacoby & Company, where we share market insights and analysis with dairy farmers in mind.
Welcome, everybody, to our monthly mass balance discussion. Today, we've got my father, Ted Jacoby. We've got Joe Maxner, who's our butter trader. We've got Don Street, who tends to lead the mass balance discussion and heads our powder group. We've got Diego Carvalho, also from our powder group. We've got Gus Jacoby, who heads our milk and fluid team. We've got Greg Shear from our milk team. We've got Jacob Mensch, who's going to lead the charting discussion, who also heads up our risk management group. We've got Anna Donzi, who handles pooling for the milk group. Welcome, everybody. Don, why don't you take it away?
I think we have a real roller coaster that's getting ready to happen, certainly on milk production. And I'll just get right into this. We've seen a very tight protein market in the last 10 days. Cheese has been a bit more sideways, but price-wise hanging in there. And when you just kind of look where we've been for Q1, we had 2% more milk. And we were running 90-some thousand cows more than a year ago. The roller coaster starts because in Q2 of last year, the cow herd shrunk by over 30,000 head. When you look at when we start in April, instead of being 90,000 head higher than a year ago, April is going to be 110,000, let's say. It's going to be a significant jump up. And that number only grows to when we get to June, we could be 150,000 cows ahead of 1 year ago.
Don, is that jump because we shrunk the herd at this time last year because of the pandemic? Are we expecting the herd to grow over the next 3 to 4 months, or in a combination of two?
I think it's mostly the drop of Q2 last year when the pandemic really kicked in, because we add from 5 to 13 to 9 thousand cows every month. If you take that times 12, you have 8,000 on average, you get 96,000 more cows every year. So most of this is simply the drop that took place a year ago. Plus, milk per cow a year ago was also pulled back as more co-ops instituted base programs. So my milk growth projection for Q2, it's a really solid 3% up, which is 50% more than the growth we had in Q1. To me, that's the biggest change that's coming down the dairy road in this Q2.
Is it fair to say, Don, that the number is going to be twice as big in Q2 and Q1, but the real trend from Q1 to Q2 isn't more increased milk? It really reflects what happened last year, where because the pandemic hit and we shrunk the milk supply.
That is correct. If I looked month on month, you're clearly going to have more cows, and the productivity growth seems to be pretty reasonable. Ignoring the seasonal trend on milk, Q2 is going to be just a really solid quarter for milk. Trying to think about this in terms of what we do with the milk that's produced. And class one bottled milk, same old story. For the 2 months that we've reported in 2021, we're down about 2.5% over prior year. Class two has been really strong, with the exception of cottage cheese, sour cream, ice cream, yogurt, have just been on a tear production-wise, 8 to 10% up, which even on a small class of milk is significant. Total cheese production was negative in January. February was really up strong. And when you look at the 2 months together, we're up about 3.5% over January, February of 20. It's a big change, and it's all driven by American and cheddar cheese. Q2 of 2020 was up 2.1% on total cheese, while Q1 was flat. So I think the growth in cheese will pull back a little bit, but will still be up a really solid 3% in Q2. On class four, butter up pretty strongly, 5% for the 2 months, nonfat and skim up almost 11. Hold that number in your head because I'm going to try to turn that upside down in a little bit. At this point, I think nonfat and skim can be up 4 to 5% in Q2, which would be similar for butter. Where does this lead us as a summary? Milk production will be up strongly in Q2 over Q1. Cheese production will clearly be up because of the new plant in Michigan. And we believe for better food service demand that we'll finally see some increases in mozzarella cheese on a prior year basis. Fluid milk just in the tank, I don't see any recovery on that at all. And just to note that Q2 of last year on fluid milk was only up 1%. It's not like it was up 4 or 5% and we'll have a big drawback. It was modestly up 1% and it'll likely be negative compared to that this year in Q2. With higher cheese, lower milk in Q1, we've seen this rally in protein prices. Part of that's the pull of higher international prices than what we had in the US. But it's also a question of, has there been less non-fat production and skim milk powder production than we thought? Butter, to my way of thinking, seems to be adequately supplied, except for the disruptions in the cream market caused by the new cheese plant in Michigan. And I ask you to remember that we had non-fat and skim up 11% year to date for 2 months and butter up 5.4%. But if I just plug in what we have measured for January, February, we should have expected lower class four production, which obviously was not the case because we know butter's up, we know non-fat and skim combined are up. And I don't believe March will be negative year on year for either of those product groups, but it's just a reflection in a very broad sense of why the protein market in particular is tighter. Reflecting Q2, I have fluid milk down 1%, class two up 2.5%, so a bit more modest, but by any measure, a solid performance for that product category, and cheese up 3%, and again, against a 3% expected increase in milk production. And now we see that instead of negative, we see class four products being up almost 7% in Q2. Does this mean we're overly enthusiastic on our price rise in protein prices, that we get a bit of pullback as this quarter plays itself through? Or is international pricing simply too strong a force that will keep our prices higher in any event? I'm going to suggest at least that we will see a correction on the US market in Q2 before we get into what I think is the period of real strength, which is the second half of the year. That's my projection. Questions, comments?
How do we think increases in milk solids manifest itself in this?
Generally speaking, you're picking up at least 0.5% more solids genetically every year. And that will vary a bit between fat and protein, but it is the equivalent of more milk. It's rare to see those solid components decrease on a year-on-year basis. They certainly have a seasonal trend to them, but the long-term trend is higher every year.
But 0.5% is a lot different than a 5% difference between class four utilization and how much non-fat seems to be being produced.
Correct. It's sort of the fallacy of flying at 50,000 feet when cows walk on the ground. So there's no way that we would turn negative on class four utilization for Q1, but it's a big flag to me sticking out there that supports, you know, why we saw the powder market run 15 cents up.
I'm having trouble getting past the idea that non-fat and skim milk production is up 11% and yet class four utilization is supposedly negative.
Part of it would be what's up and what's not up in terms of mozzarella being flat to even down a little bit. It always kicks off cream, but now it's kicking off more protein solids as well. So, Ted, even if you say that there was a small increase in class four, whether it's spillover reporting as you go from month to month. The milk comes into the plant, it's processed tomorrow, which is in the next month. To me, the biggest thing that I'm trying to project here is that in Q2, we're going to have even more milk flowing to a class four status.
One of the things that I think is going to be hard to predict, you know, we're talking about measuring milk production year over year. We know milk production went negative in Q2 of last year because of the pandemic. Intuitively, we also know that mozzarella production in particular went negative significantly in Q2 because we know there were a lot of mozzarella plants that had to really push back their milk supply, which contributed to the decrease in milk production. We're up 3.5% in the first quarter. We will probably need to be up 5 or 6% minimum in the second quarter in class three, but it's this for the same reason. We're measuring against weakness.
So Q1 of 2020 on cheese was just right at zero change, and Q2 was up 2.1%. That would argue that Q2 changes in 2021 will be a bit more tempered, except for the fact that you have an 8 million pound a day plant that is presumably now nearing full capacity.
Anybody else have any thoughts?
3% more milk in Q2. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I'm going to take the under on that, Don.
All right, Ted, you're on. I like your attitude here.
Gus, what do you think?
I think we might underestimate what the West is doing from a class four production standpoint. I would also guess that there probably is some unreported things that some of this class four production is going into as well. But still, I struggle trying to figure out where the gap is between what is being considered production and what is actually being utilized on the spreadsheet in class four.
Meaning you think maybe we're not actually producing as much nonfat as the dairy products report?
That's possible. To me, it seems like milk has been long enough over the last few months, and I'm talking about all over, not just in areas like the Mideast that we really tend to focus on, that there is a fair amount of class four production going on. And there's a need to balance a lot because not just of your typical balancing marketplace, but as the economy opens up here, doesn't open up here, closes back up, those type of things, that milk is in and out of class four a lot more than we might think. And we're not as sensitive to it, perhaps, than normal because of the export ability. You know, we've got so much going out of the country right now. We're a lot higher than we have in a while. My point being is that those numbers may not completely align, but it doesn't surprise me that we're making a whole bunch. And I would expect that we will continue to make a whole bunch of class four through the next couple of months as we get through the flush and as the economy fully opens up. Toward the end of Q2, some point, going to be, you know, an issue, and it makes me wonder if we're going to hit probably in June, I would say, where demand exceeds supply on pretty much every level.
Let me ask Greg a question. You got $7 corn. What? How are you going to feed your cows?
I do think there's a lag effect. Some of these producers have feed coverage locked in. Some of them aren't going to cut back yet because they see higher milk prices, but it is going to affect your ration. It is going to affect how many cows you're milking moving forward, but I don't know that you see the $7 corn and all of a sudden cut back right away. I think it's kind of a gradual thing for most producers. And as they work through the feed that they already have coverage on.
All right. So you're looking at maybe the $7 corn being a factor in the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think so. I think as you hit that, it will be a much bigger factor.
You know, you're already shipping a smidgen of milk to the Southeast. Obviously, not necessarily for class one, more for political reasons, but the simple fact that you're shipping it.
That seems to be the one spot, you know, where you can ship milk. Every other area seemed very full. So that's about the one spot that, and then we'll probably really be the one in need this fall when we get there.
So, Don, I'm still taking the under.
Okay. Well, Ted, I appreciate the challenge and we'll settle this up in July.
All right, Jake. Let's talk about what the technical aspects of our markets are telling us to expect going forward from here.
You bet we'll dive into that. We're going to start in the obvious place first, though, and that is talking about diapers. It's actually a quick follow-up on our last podcast, where we kind of dove into inflation. And I kind of posited that maybe we were seeing inflation right now today, or rather inflation's happening right now today, but we're not necessarily seeing it. Well, we're seeing it. I think a very, very good example is diapers. Kimberly-Clark and Procter & Gamble both came out 2 days ago and said they're going to increase the price of diapers about 10%. That's a perfect example of something that factors into the CPI, which is what we had discussed last time, that is going to be something that will be reflected and is no doubt inflationary. And a 10% jump on something like diapers is just huge. And that's never going back. That's inflationary. They are not selling diapers like crazy or anything like that. This is truly due to logistics and material issues.
Just to add to your inflation comment, just in the last couple of weeks, I've had four separate conversations with dairy plants that have talked about significant increases in hourly wages, raising their starting wage $1-$2 an hour just because that's how badly they are in need of people. And they're at the point where they have no choice but to increase wages to fill their plant. And that ultimately becomes very inflationary. And wage inflation is really, I think, one of the biggest CPI drivers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned the CPI. It's still very muted. I mean, it's at like 2.6, I think, which has been a level we've hovered around since 2013, maybe 2012. I don't have it up in front of me. But we still aren't seeing that crazy jump in the CPI that everyone screaming inflation, myself included, would really kind of expect to see. But things like diapers, lumber, which we'll touch on in a little bit, it's really hinting that the CPI jump is around the
The jump in the CPI, they measure the CPI at the supermarket level, at that sales level. So when the price of cheese goes up, if supermarkets are not passing along that increased cheese price to the consumer, you're not going to see an increase in the CPI. And it usually takes a sustained price increase at the CME level to cause supermarkets to increase their cheese price. And so it doesn't surprise me that we could go 6, 8, 10 months with some pretty high cheese prices without seeing increases in price at the supermarket level. But ultimately, we're at $1.90, $2 or higher, and we're there for 12 to 18 months. That's when we start seeing food prices, at least in terms of dairy, really start to affect the CPI. And I should add, dairy as a percentage of total food purchases is big enough that if we do see class three prices high for 18 months, it will have a material effect on the CPI.
All good points. One other thing in the news this past week that I think is actually kind of important to note for our dairy markets is all the rumors flying around about tax increases. And specifically, I'm going to touch on the capital gains tax increase. This is rumored capital gains taxes are going to double from 23-24% to 38-40%, 43%, I think I saw. And it caused a market sell-off on either Wednesday or Thursday last week. And I think the market was very reactionary on it. It's nothing that's going to impact us tomorrow, but as we know, markets are anticipatory. And I think if this capital gains tax increase comes to fruition, I think it could have really interesting implications on dairy markets. So our dairy markets trade a lot on what are called Section 1256 contracts, and they have a special tax treatment where 60% of capital gains are treated as long-term gains. You could enter a trade today and sell it tomorrow, and normally that would be a short-term gain, which has a higher tax rate. But these Section 1256 contracts, 60%, no matter what, is treated as long-term capital gains tax. If we start getting into this high capital gains tax environment, you might see money move to these Section 1256 contracts, which dairy is a part of. So just again, kind of a side note, but all things to keep in the back of our mind here as we were talking inflation driving prices higher, things like these tax increases might drive our prices higher. Kind of the final thing before we really touch on dairy itself is just going to be the dollar index. We've had a really interesting reversal in the dollar index over the course of April. We hit this 93 level at the end of March, and now we've fallen consistently almost every day in April back down to that 90 to 90.5 level on the index. I don't have as good of an explanation for that one. The coronavirus situation in the U.S. still is outperforming, if you will, Europe and the rest of the world, especially if you look at places like India. India has had a really, really bad last week here. I'm interested why the market is kind of off the dollar at this point. I think one explanation could be that the market thinks inflation will be worse in the U.S. than other places in the world. I'm not sure that I'm buying that. If that's the reason the dollar has sold off, I would disagree with the market. Now, I am not a currency trader. Any currency trader listening to me would be laughing right now. I'm sure there's an obvious explanation, but I'm surprised, to say the least, to see the dollar being as weak as it has been over the past month. Now, if you're a product trader, somebody trying to get exports done, it's been a welcome sight, this weakness. I really don't have a great guess where we go from here. If I had to pick a direction, I would say the dollar's going to strengthen again, but we'll see. Let's go ahead and move over to class three, just talk about milk for a moment. We've had a really interesting milk trade and cheese trade for the past 2 to 3 weeks here, maybe even a month. We can't talk about class three right now without also talking about corn. So back on March 31st, class three was at 1760, and we had a limit up day when basically nothing happened in our cheese spot market or any other spot market for that matter. If you're just looking at our class three markets, you'd be left scratching your head. And it all comes down to corn. Corn had a limit up day on March 31st. And if that doesn't show the correlation that is in our class three and ag markets right now, I don't know what would. It is a tight correlation, I think. So ever since late March, early April, corn's basically been on a tear. We went from 522, and today we're at, I think, 680 in the front month. But yeah, the ag's just nonstop for the past month. And we've had some breathers, I'll call them, in class three, where maybe we didn't go up quite as nonstop like corn did, but we are still pretty strong here in the mid-19s. And I think a lot of cheese traders out there are kind of scratching their heads saying, we've got a product out there, demand is okay, but that food service pipeline is probably filled, so there isn't the food service demand that we had been seeing. So what the heck are we doing up here? I think all signs point to outside influence, both in the form of managed money kind of playing around in our markets, as well as just ags in the background, so strong, kind of pulling the markets that are related to ags, but not necessarily ags themselves, pulling those higher as well. Let's look at our class three carry. We're going to look at a carry from May to September, and we are dead flat. It's shown that it's at a 6 cent carry from May to September. That is the lowest it's been besides 2014. 2014, it was inverted quite a bit. But this thing sticks out like a sore thumb. We've got every other year from 2008 till today at a better carry besides 2014, as I said, with almost all the years winding up somewhere between a 30 cent carry to a $1.80 carry, call it somewhere in that range, almost every year's in that range. So really kind of a notable flatness, the curve in class three right now.
So basically, do you think the market is telling us that we're going to be pretty well supplied the rest of the year, more in line with Don's view about like an oversupplied market?
To be honest, I think the market's kind of tossing its hands in the air and saying, I don't really know what's coming.
I would argue, Diego, that what the market's telling us with cheese is that we added significant amount of cheese production capacity with the Michigan cheese plant, and that we're going to have more than enough supply as a result going forward from this moment. In that, unlike a usual year where your maximum cheese production happens in the second quarter and then you've got to work down your inventories, I think the market's hinting that this year we're going to have more than enough cheese production and we're not going to need to chase the market higher. But because we're coming off the pandemic here, I agree with Jake. I think there's uncertainty at the market at the same time. As if, on one hand, logically, your mind wants to say, we got more than enough cheese. These prices don't need to be at that high. And on the other hand, they're saying, I have no idea what's going to happen. We're still coming out of this pandemic, and there's a lot of variability.
Let's talk about the class four curve, just like we were talking about the class three curve. That thing has gotten really flat as well. A month ago, our class four carry was about 10 cents from 119 to 128. And now today, It's from 132 to 136. So we've gone from about a 10-cent carry to a 4-cent carry. That has gotten flat. I think it's probably for many of the same reasons that we've been seeing on the Class 3 side. So the non-fed auction today to the fourth month out. So basically, how much higher price is fourth month future versus the non-fat auction price? And even though non-fat futures carry has really flattened out, the non-fat auction versus the futures carry really has hung in there. We're at 5 cents, call it, today. And we've been more or less between 3 to 5 cents over the past 2 months now. So kind of a really interesting market to me, where the futures curve has gone almost flat, but the auction versus futures carry has hung in there, really not very volatile at all. I guess the last thing I'll bring up is that we were talking about corn in Class 3 earlier as kind of having this relationship, and really commodities as a whole have moved strongly higher with few exceptions. You know, gold's kind of been a laggard, but just in general, commodities are booming. For the most part, lumber sticks out because it is just a different animal. We've got what looks like a blow off top forming, but we're at $300. I think this is quoted as per 10,000 feet. But back in April of last year, we were at $300 on the lumber futures. And today we are at almost $1,300, with 400 of that coming in the past month. So April started pricing at around 827, and yesterday we were at 1284. So we feel like we're special in the dairy world, but everyone's having their own fun.
I think it's been a great discussion. Don, Jake, thank you very much. Thanks to everybody for participating. Really appreciate it.
We welcome your participation in the Milk Check. If you have comments to share or questions you want answered, send an email to podcast@jacobi.com. Our theme music is composed and performed by Phil Keggy. The Milk Check is a production of TC Jacobi & Company.